Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Kian. Today, we'll discuss the article by Nagai et al. Titled, Gene and Cytokine Therapy for Heart Failure. This article published online July 9th, 2012. My guests today are Associate Editor Masafumi Kitakaze, First Author Toshio Nagai, and Leading Expert Takashi Matsui. Let's get started.
Thank you, Kara. This is Masafumi Kitakaze, and I would like to start podcast for the excellent review paper of Dr. Nagai and Komuro regarding the gene therapy and cytokine therapy for the patient with heart failure. So, Toshio, please briefly explain what you have achieved in your review paper.
Thank you, Masafumi. In this review, I introduce a current status of gene and cytokine therapy for heart failure. In the chapter of gene therapy, I focused on several molecules such as GRK2, SC6, that is adenyl cyclase type 6, SERC2A, phospholamban, inhibitor 1 over 2, and S100A1 proteins. These molecules are involved in beta adrenergic signaling and excitation contraction coupling. I have overviewed the preclinical studies of gene therapy targeting these molecules and discussed about how these molecules are associated with improvement of cardiac contraction. Among the potential molecules discussed in this review, clinical trials of SERCA2A and SC6 have been launched. I introduced some promising results of clinical trial of SERCA2A, namely CUPID. In the chapter of cytokine therapy, I focused on GCSF and erythropoietin. Preclinical studies have shown that GCSF and erythropoietin promote cardiac repair after myocardial infarction through mobilization of stem cells and also through pleiotropic cardiovascular effects. However, most of the meta-analysis of clinical studies suggest that the administration of GCSF or erythropoietin does not improve the beneficial effects of standard heart failure therapy. Although safety of the use of GCSF and erythropoietin has been demonstrated, this suggests that establishment of better protocols as well as more understanding of molecular pathways under GCSF and erythropoietin are needed. Finally, I have discussed about some future direction in this review.
Thank you very much, Toshio. Takashi, please provide several questions or comments to this excellent paper, not Toshio's paper, please.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. So Toshio, so you clarified potential molecules for gene therapy in the review. Could you give us some comments on recent clinical trials in aspects of safety and efficacy?
Thank you, Takashi. Currently, SERCA2A and SC6 have been taken forward to clinical trials for heart failure. Trials of SC6 is currently enrolling patients, therefore, I believe that clinical trial of SERCA2A, that is CUPID trial, is most advanced. The result of phase 2 CUPID trial has been reported recently. In terms of efficacy, high-dose groups showed significant improvements in patient symptoms, functional status, and clinical outcomes, as well as biomarkers and cardiac function. The CUPID trial consisted of only 39 patients. However, the group carefully analyzed the data based on a number of subjective and objective parameters. Problems related to vectors such as immunological reactions and unknown toxic effects were not reported. This may be the result of using adeno-associated virus that have low immunogenicity. One concern is a relatively high incidence of the presence of neutralizing antibodies. Among pre-screening 509 patients, only 63 patients were negative for antibodies. This may limit the efficacy of SERCA2A gene therapy. SC6 is a unique molecule because recent reports suggest that some of the effects of SC6 are independent of the beta adrenergic pathway, suggesting that its multifunctional role. I am interested in the results of clinical study of SC6.
Thank you, Toshio. So you introduced some reports about Parkine mechanism in cell therapies. Could you tell us how cytokine contribute to the Parkine mechanism for successful cell therapies?
I think this is a very important issue. A Parkine mechanism is the most important one, which mediates the beneficial effects of the transplanted cells. most of the candidate cells for self-therapy, such as mesenchymal cells from bone marrow and fat tissue, myoblast and cardiac progenitors secrete many kinds of cytokines, such as VEGF, PDGF, HGF, and so on. These factors promote angiogenesis, prevent cardiomyocytes from apoptosis, and regulate cardiac fibrosis. Mesenchymal cells also attenuate inflammation and tissue remodeling through releasing of cytokines such as IL-10. One important point is that hypoxic environment enhances the secretion of pipeline factors from transplanted cells. Another point is that survived cardiomyocytes can become a large source of paracrine factors such as VEGF and erythropoietin. Therefore, even though the number of engrafted cells are limited, the effects of cell therapy via paracrine mechanism can be augmented or enhanced more than expected.
You focus on the GCSF and erythropoietin as cytokine therapy in the review. Do you have any idea about optimal timing to perform these therapies for patients with acute myocardial infarction or heart failure?
Yes, for the patients with acute myocardial infarction, I believe that GCSF and erythropoietin have to be administered as soon as possible because the main effect of these cytokine therapy are based on angiogenic and anti-apoptotic effects for cardiomyocytes and endothelial cells, which are very sensitive to ischemia. It has been reported that the degree of improvement in cardiac function is inversely associated with the time to cytokine administration in patients after reperfusion. For the patients with chronic heart failure, I think that the patients with anemia may be one of the good candidates for erythropoietin therapy. And also for the patients with ischemic heart failure, cytokine therapy is expected to improve the perfusion through its angiogenic effect. Considering the fact that the apoptosis of cardiomyocytes and reduction of capillary density are associated with the progression of heart failure, long-term and regular use of cytokines may be effective. However, dose and period of administration of cytokines have to be determined very carefully, because there is a possibility that such a sustained angiogenic effect may worsen diabetic retinopathy or promote the growth of neoplasms.
Finally, Toshio, please tell us the most specific point of cytokine or gene therapy compared with the general usual drug therapy in patients with heart failure.
Yes, once the ideal vector system has established, gene therapy may induce the target molecules in particular organ for a long term. Furthermore, heart is anatomically isolated from other organs and accessible by surgical and catheter approaches. This is a big advantage in cardiovascular gene therapy, I think. And many kinds of cells express the receptors for cytokines. Therefore, physiological dose of cytokines may activate several signaling cascades in the various organs. This may lead to pleiotropic effects on cardiovascular system. Probably these effects are not expected in simple chemicals or drugs, I think.
Okay, thank you very much. We understand the molecular mechanism of the gene and cytokine therapy to improve the pathophysiology of heart failure and cardiac dysfunction. This review paper may become a milestone for the understanding of non-pharmacological therapy and translational research to the severe heart failure patient. Thank you for your contribution. Thank you.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circ podcast. For more podcasts, visit us online at ajpheart.physiology.org. Thank you.